Welcome to Not a Great Whisperer podcast. This is your host, Katie Ray. I am joined from a person I've known since kindergarten, Erin LaRosa. Welcome in Cali. So we would have had to Zoom meeting either way, pandemic or not. If you were in town, you probably do a lot of family time anyways. But we come from the roots of Pinellas County in Florida. She moved her happy ass over to Cali, living her best life. And I wanted her to join today. She's an author, writer, new mom, amazing redhead that I know. You know, I have, I've only had a couple redheads on here. She wrote the book, The Big Redhead Book. Am I right? Redhead book.
Right. The Big Redhead Book. Yeah.
And Woman Skills was the other one.
That's right. Woman Skills. Yeah. Both available on Amazon, y'all.
Okay. Both. We will definitely do all the, where to get your book and everything after. But how many right now as a new mom do you have in the works that you haven't finished?
I have, it's funny because I gave birth March 10th and is it too soon to get into birth stories? But So March 9th was her, March 10th was her actual due date, and March 9th I had my 40-week checkup with my doctor, and I remember that morning I went to a cafe and I was working on this book. I was rewriting it basically, so I have a draft of a new book, and I was like, oh, this is great. I had an induction scheduled for that coming Friday, so it was a Monday, and I was like, I have all week, I can get these rewrites done, and maybe I'll have that book finished. And so I go to my doctor's appointment, and the ultrasound tech is doing her thing, and she looks at me and she's like, looks like someone's having a baby today. And I was like, what are you talking about? And so an hour later I was in the hospital and getting induced. So did not get to those rewrites.
Did you not feel that pressure?
Well, I had been having small contractions and I had no idea. I was like, whatever, you know, it's my first baby. I don't know. Is it gas? Is it like, what's happening? And when I went to the doctor, my amniotic fluid was low. So the doctor was basically like, yeah, we've got to induce you. She was like, you could go another day, but we should probably do it right now. So I don't know if you've ever been induced for any of your babies, but those contractions come fast.
Yes. Oh, so I was, so water broke for everyone, but my kids didn't want to come at all. They just chilled after they broke my water and ran away, all three of them. So then they Pitocin me up and induced the shit out of me. And then it's like one moment there's nothing. And then just all of a sudden when you get it,
it is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember they were like, you know, do you want the, epidural right now? And I was like, no, I'll wait. And they were like, I think you're gonna want it right now. And I was like, no, I really. And so I waited, and after 30 minutes of contractions coming, I was like, give me that epidural.
I was the same with my first. I had epidurals for all three, but it would have been horrible if you waited too long.
And it took them about an hour to get me the epidural, actually, after I requested it, because, you know, they have to get the resident or the doctor in. And, oh, Lord, I was like, I should have asked. I was like, I should have done it immediately.
Where are they? Where are you guys?
I think I just thought it would be slower. I had no idea that when they induce you, it's just like, whoa.
Yeah, they're just basically like, fuck it, we got to get this baby out. That's basically what they
Yeah.
Do.
Yeah.
So that book is not done, is what
not done. And I've tried to go back to it, but my husband will give me an hour or whatever, be in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna hunker down. And it's like the minute you get a moment to yourself, all I want to do is watch reality TV, scroll my Instagram, just do something mindless so that my fried body and brain can have a moment to recharge.
Listen, my first, the first time with Jaden, the only thing I did was watch Ellen and Say Yes to the Dress. And now I have an awkward obsession of seeing people's dresses before they get married. I'm like, can I see you? of your wedding dress before, what'd you pick? You should go color white. I'm like, yeah, it's horrible. It's like a very, very bad sickness. But your brain, you just want your brain to shut off. You're dealing with a human. And as a, I saw this hilarious meme from like Gwyneth Paltrow, like write a book during the quarantine. Like,
I hate Gwyneth Paltrow, and I also love root products, and it's really a problem. I got like a free sample of this glycolic peel that she has, and I was like, whatever, I'll just, it's expensive, I'm gonna try it. And I did it, and my skin looked so incredible the next day, and I was like, fuck you, Gwyneth Paltrow, because the product is like $120 for like 10 little glycolic pads. And I was like, I can't do this, but I really want to.
Great, and I looked great.
It was so upsetting.
So expensive things, but you left Netflix, right, to jump
I did
writing.
Yeah,
how long did after that did you finish the book? So like you left Netflix.
Yep. So I left Netflix over a year ago. I left last February. And I was like, you know, I'm going to take a year off. I'm going to be writing. And I finished a draft of a book within 2 or 3 months. And I sent it to my editor. And my editor read it. And her feedback was, you know, I like this one part of the book. And I was like, And she was like, can you write a book around this one part and scrap the rest? And we talked at, we talked it out, you know, and the annoying thing is as a writer, when you get a note that makes sense and it's a really good note and I didn't want to take it because I was like, I've already written a book. Mm-hmm. Like, can't this just be it?
Fucking book.
So I decided to rewrite and do a totally, basically write from scratch, a totally new book. So I then have, I think it took about 4 or 5 months to get my next version of that book out, like a finished draft. And in that time, you know, we ended up, we were actively trying to get pregnant for a little over a year. And part of why we couldn't get pregnant was I had had these polyps in my uterus, uterine polyps. And so I ended up having a surgery to remove those. We got pregnant. I had a miscarriage at 5 weeks and then immediately got pregnant. Like, I think they call them rainbow babies, but I had, so I got pregnant right after that miscarriage. So basically after leaving Netflix, my life was like a really big whirlwind of like, I'm getting, like I'm having all these health things going on. I'm writing a book. And once I got pregnant, which was, I think in July or August when we found out I was pregnant, I was like really terribly sick for 3 or 4 months, like could not get off the couch kind of morning sickness. And so writing during that time was just not possible. Okay. I basically was like, it was a good day if I got up and was able to like go outside and get the mail or whatever it was, you know? And so I didn't really end up getting back into writing until the fall. And that's when I started doing my rewrites, but it was tough. I mean, you know, I really didn't expect, you know, the year that I took off from Netflix to be like spent dealing with pregnancy and morning sickness and, you know, figuring all of that stuff out. And so a lot of the creative time that I had wanted baked into my like year of creativity just totally vanished, which I did not expect. I really thought it would be a lot smoother.
I know, but you have two books, you have a play, right? You did, was it?
Yes. Yeah, so I also had written a play during that time called Sinkhole. And so that was, that ended up being performed at a few places and that was really fun.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, like I was definitely being creative, but honestly, when I was the first 3 or 4 months of pregnancy, I was, it was
horrible.
Like wasted time. It's gone. It's
but like, was it like one day it just changed when you had that bad morning sickness? Because some women have it their whole pregnancy and then some have it like, first try.
My mom kept saying to me, she was like, it'll just go away. Like you'll wake up and it'll be gone. And I, that never happened for me. It was a slow ebbing away where I was like, oh, I can eat like,
okay. So gradually
something today and it's like not going to come up. So yeah, it was a gradual weaning for me. I think in that fourth month and then I finally got my appetite and I really went for it. My doctor initially, I actually lost weight in the beginning because I just like couldn't keep anything down. And then, so my doctor was like, okay, so you've got to gain weight and like, you know, here's how much you should gain. And then I don't know about you, but when I went to the doctor, I never wanted to know my weight. I hate anything with numbers. So I just told her to tell me like, do I need to gain? Am I doing okay? And so I remember, I think around 6 months, I was like, so how am I doing? She's like, you're good. Like, she was like, you don't need to like actively be eating cake every day. And I was like, oh, you're man. Fine. Okay, fine.
I got weighed, but I was just like, you know what? It is what it is. Like, there's a human in my body. Like, I know pounds on every pregnancy. Like, it just is what it is.
And
like,
I have no idea what I
good.
Gained or lost, you know. I just felt like for my own sanity, I didn't want to keep track of, I just wanted to know, like, am I in a healthy zone? Am I, you know?
I get that because it would get in my head. I was like, oh, yeah. I'm almost there. Like, oh, should I?
Yeah.
And it would get, because I saw the number where it would get in my head completely.
I know. And I think there's so much pressure on women. And I was surprised, you know, I go to therapy weekly. And I remember telling my therapist, like, the question that people keep asking me is like, how much weight have you gained? Like, what? Oh, your bump is so big. Oh, your bump is so small. And I would hear like contrasting things, but it was always about like my size, my weight. And I just feel like for maybe some women are comfortable with that, but it made me so uncomfortable.
Super uncomfortable. Or they'll be like, oh, it's all in your belly. Or they'd be like, wow, James, got your leg. Like, fuck off.
I know. One comment that I was like, well, that is a bitch comment. And it came from a guy, but he was like, oh, how far along are you? And I was like, 7 months. And he was like, oh, wow, I would have thought you were farther along.
Yeah, like,
based
what?
On how big I was. And I was like, oh, okay.
Are you always around pregnant women, or do you do research on pregnant women?
Uh-huh.
Is that like a fact? Like,
I know. It was great.
Okay. So did you read a lot of books on pregnancy?
I read, I think it was two books. I think my husband ended up reading more than I did. I read Crib Sheet and Expecting Better, which is by the same author. Mm-hmm. And she is like a, maybe she's a data scientist, but she used a lot of like numbers and facts or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I read a book called Nurture, which is almost the opposite. It was sort of like the holistic approach to pregnancy.
Yeah.
So I got both sides. And then my husband read, I think it's that French book. Is it like French babies are better or whatever? The theme is like French people are better and French babies are better. Oh, it's called Raising Bebe, I think.
What?
It's so ridiculous. I hated that book. Terrible.
What?
Book.
Where did you guys meet?
We met online, like very modern.
I love it.
People do. But I met Owen on OkCupid. So it was before Tinder and before like swiping. It was like you had to have the desktop application or whatever. So that's how old school we were. So I totally missed out on the fun of like swiping and.
Yeah, swiping and just meeting for a quick hookup and just living your
best. Yeah, exactly. Missed all of that.
No, I get it. I did.
How did you meet your husband?
USF at college.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. Class.
Yeah. Met in real life. Yeah. How rare.
But I have cousins and friends that have all met online. But you're right. It was before this generation online date. Like the swiping and the like.
It's really tough.
Yeah. It was a different time when you guys probably met. And you were married on Beyonce's birthday.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was. I basically our entire. I try to tell her every year when I celebrate. I tag her in my posts. Also, my birthday is on Blue Ivy's birthday, so I feel like she and I are truly connected.
Best friends have you met? You are.
I think so. And our wedding, there was like a 30-minute Beyonce tribute where it was just Beyonce songs, and it was really fantastic. So. I celebrate her. At least 30 minutes. The DJ was great.
Someone has to tell her. I hope she listens to my podcast. I hope she hears about it.
I mean, if she's not, then she's just getting tagged in a lot of random posts, and whoever her social media person is probably hates me.
But like Erin LaRosa every year.
Who is this
keeps
bitch?
Tagging us. Who is
yeah.
this bitch? She keeps doing this, and she says she knows Blue Ivy. Like, what's going on?
I think my, maybe it's not this anymore, but my profile bio used to be Blue Ivy's confidant because we share that birthday. So
I mean,
I feel close to her.
That's super important.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So with your new, and is it baby's name?
Maeve, which people pronounce as Mauve or Maud. It's very confusing. It's not, I guess it's not that common of a name, but it's M-A-E-V-E.
It's so pretty. I love it.
I love that name. Yeah.
How'd you pick it? How'd you?
So I always thought that the way that I would pick a baby name would be like really special. I remember my mom saying she picked my name because she heard someone say it in a supermarket and thought it sounded nice.
They're special, mom.
And I was like, great, thanks. But we ended up finding it because I was just Googling like pretty baby name, like any variation of that, like cool baby names, unique baby girl names. And I had made like a little list on my phone of names that I liked, and I contrasted them with my husband's list, and we both kind of were whittling names down, and we both kept saying Maeve toward the end of the pregnancy. It would kind of be like, Maeve sounds nice, doesn't it? Like, ba ba ba. But we didn't really tell anyone about it. She is so sweet. I feel like we're really lucky with our baby.
Is he a creative too? Are you a creative?
He is. Okay. Yeah, he's a TV writer. So he's writing right now for a Hulu TV show. Awesome. And he is like in a virtual writer's room because no one's meeting in real life. But yeah, every day he's on a Zoom call like yeah. We are.
Is that hard for him not being in the presence of them? Like it's,
I think it's going well, weirdly. Okay. You know, I don't know how like coronavirus is going to change the way people work. And I think a lot of writers' rooms might end up being remote in the future. But yeah, they're able to still like kind of be creative and collaborative without being in the same room. And
so they're all just like logged in. They start doing what they need to do. And that's super cool though. I love it.
Yeah. And I've been chatting with some of my other writer friends too. And like just working through ideas with them over the phone. And sometimes it's a little easier to be creative over the phone too, because you don't have to like worry about being in a public place, like meeting in a coffee shop or whatever. You just kind of start getting your ideas out.
Yeah. You can have no distractions because you're in like a part of your house where it's quiet.
That's right.
Yeah.
And things kind of go faster. Like it's not, you're not doing it over a lunch or whatever. You're just kind of focusing on you need to talk about.
Just like people are starting to realize they don't have to be physically in an office, because that drive for some people is stressful and it's like
so awful.
So much more productivity done. And it's like, why hasn't anybody seen this?
Yeah. And I think it's been great. It's been great for us just to have my husband working from home in the midst of a pandemic when, you know, I have no childcare and no one else. It's sort of like I can hand the baby over to him if I need to use the bathroom or like get something to eat or whatever. And
you're feeling, you know,
I mean, if he wasn't here during the day, I would literally not have anyone else to help me. And I really feel for people who are in those situations because I don't know how they do it. They're just superhuman.
I know. It's insane. And my husband's at work every day and I have the two older ones where,
Katie.
I think being the third though with the baby, I'm like, this is calm. And then the other two are like sprinting back and forth and like, but I'm like, what am I doing? I'm not.
I guess they can take care of, they can home alone it while you're, you know,
so
with
we have
the baby.
Things set outside. And I'm like, I'm going to lock you guys out back and you guys are just gonna and Jane will be like, I got my energy out. I did like a run around the kitchen. I'm like, no, that doesn't work like that. No, you need
thank
to
God you have outdoor space.
Oh, I know to people who don't have like backyard. I know. I get it.
Yeah.
Gotta be outdoors sometimes. Like,
yeah,
it's insane. What kind of new things were you surprised about for motherhood? How about the recovery?
I guess
your 6 week recovery. Were you, your vaginal, I was all three were vaginal. So it's like,
no, I had a C-section.
Oh, really?
I ended up having a
emergency.
I guess it was I was talking to my husband about this. I was like, did I have an emergency C-section? And he was like, I think so, but they never said that term to me, but,
I call it that because you started being induced. Did Maeve have some complications? They had to get her out really?
Yeah, so it's like, to make a long story short, I have really low blood pressure, and like so low that they like won't let me donate blood kind of thing. So when I went into the hospital, anytime a new nurse came in, they would be like, whoa, 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 your blood pressure is so, and I would be like, this is me normally. But one nurse was like, you know, I just have to give you heart medication to like raise your heart rate. But in doing that, it also raised the baby's heart rate. So anytime she was like going through a contraction, her heart rate would like go through the roof because of my heart medication. And so they basically were kind of like, you know, you can keep pushing, but we're going to be really nervous if her heart rate keeps going up. And it'll, you know, we'll just have to rush you to do a C-section at some point. And so
how long were you pushing for?
I think it was, or I guess maybe I wasn't even pushing technically, because the epidural was done. I was 7 centimeters dilated. So I wasn't even, she wasn't really through the canal at all. That was kind of the option. They were like, you know, we can get to the pushing stage, but if her heart rate goes sky high, we're going to have to, you know, C-section her out. Or we can just like do it before she starts going through your birth canal. And I was like, well, I don't want to fuck up my vagina and my...
I was going to say, did you have both recovery? That's some fucked up shit.
No, thank God. I like avoided the vaginal recovery because I was like, let's just do a C-section then. So that recovery was really, it's, you know, it's brutal. I don't think people talk enough about it because I think a lot of, you know, I was trying to think if there's been any TV or movies I've consumed where the person gets a C-section. And I was like, I really don't think so. And I'm sure there's maybe something out there that I'm missing, but, when you think of birth, you just think like vaginal, like that's how it's going to be. So it was a really weird process for me where, you know, I just wasn't prepared for it. And then I was in so much pain after the C-section, just in my abdomen, and moving was hard, like breathing was sometimes hurt, you know, if you're not getting that medication like on schedule or whatever. And some of my nurses were good about giving me my medicine, some like would let it go an extra hour, and then you're in all this pain. So, and you still end up, something that surprised me was you still end up bleeding vaginally when you have a C-section. You still bleed and have to wear pads and all of that.
Your diaper.
Yeah, I had I literally had adult diapers that I had ordered, thank God.
Oh, really? Like not that underwear thing they gave you with
honey? No, I like ordered adult fucking diapers and I wore my diapers around and it was great. Felt great.
You're like, this is what I did. Actually, that's probably smarter than those other things were stupid. But
it felt great. Whatever.
Because I didn't know that was still.
Yeah, because your body still has to shed everything.
Yeah, just getting it out.
Uh-huh.
Well, the C-section, I know a couple of my friends who have had it and told me the recovery is hard. But they kind of like downplay it.
Yeah, and maybe other women have different experiences, but I found it to be really tough because, you know, you're not really supposed to pick up anything heavier than your baby for a long time. And when you do, you're in pain. So, you know, I did not find it to be like a like easy breezy option or alternative.
For your how was it, 6 to 8 week recovery day?
Yeah, so they say 6 weeks in terms of like, you know, when you can start having sex again or start working out again or any of that stuff. But I think I only did the painkillers for the first week, and then I just kind of
weaned off,
stopped taking them. Yeah. Because, you know, I would have pain, but it wasn't so bad that I needed like the really heavy duty pain medicine they had prescribed me. So, but I feel like, honestly, I was thinking today, I was like, I feel like only now when she's 2.5 months do I feel physically like, you know, this was the first time today where I was like, maybe I'll try to go on a run tonight, like actually go outside when she's put down to bed or whatever. Okay. And like try to work out actively. And I think it's going to go horribly, but I'm going to like put in that time.
It'll go
horrible. But now my body feels like, okay, I think we've like finally gotten over something.
Isn't that funny how your body tells you that? That's the same with me. The first 2 months was a wash. I wasn't doing shit. I was eating. I was just chilling. I'm like, my body, you have no sleep. But once like I hit that 2.5 mark, I went on my first run and like both of my legs felt like 1,000 pounds each.
So I bet. Like,
what is this?
Yeah, I bet.
But you're right. Like I always say to I always say to like my friends or just women in general, like, don't think of anything the first 2 months except getting as much sleep as you can in that baby, because stop worrying about your weight. Stop worrying about like, it'll heal your body, like figure out when your body's going to just get back to feeling good, because your hormones are off balance. I had night sweats like a motherfucker. Oh my gosh. Like, I would wake up and I was like, is that breast milk or my sweat? Like, what is this? Like, why am I so wet? Like, I couldn't.
I feel like emotionally for me, my emotions were all over the place for the first month. I mean, I would just start crying randomly and look at her and start crying and like think about like really dark shit. I was like, what if I die? What if she dies? Just all of this dark shit.
But I still think about that. I take just isolate CBD right now for anxiety, but And you know, it's like extra when you're thinking like that all the time. So like, I still worry about like, if Chris and I are in a car together and the kids are at my mom's, like, what if something happened to both of us? Like things like that.
Yes.
Like, things. But you know, like once you start talking about it a little bit more too, you're not crazy.
Yeah. And I feel much less alone, after talking to some other moms, but I was surprised by like how much I cried, especially the first week. And I remember a doctor came into my hospital room, and I think I had just been crying, or she must have seen that I was about to start crying. And she was like, you know, it's okay to cry. And I just like started hysterical. I was like, ooh, this is crazy. Yeah. There's a baby here. Like, what do I do with it? You know, just like, and she just let me have that. So
that was amazing. I wish more doctors were like that.
She was rare, because the other doctors would just come in and be like, let me see your stitches. Okay. Good to go, bye. But I think she understood that. Yeah. And she had said that she had been through C-sections too. And she wasn't my normal doctor, but I think she kind of took pity on me.
So do you think C-sections, it's harder to get your hormones back in balance because it's a surgery?
I have no idea. That's a good question. I mean, I know that like, it's hard, like some things are harder, like getting your breast milk in can sometimes be harder.
Because your body's not reacting to the surgery then.
Yeah. Or like going through the vaginal canal, like your body didn't go through that full process. So I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I just felt out of sorts completely I think all new moms probably do, but for the first month it was like, and also that same doctor had told me like, you know, wait 2 weeks and then look back and you will see how far you've come. And then every 2 weeks, just do that exercise of like, okay, how far am I at 4 weeks? How much better am I at 6, 8? And, you know, I've found that to be really true.
That's good advice. And right now you're looking back and you're like, wow.
Oh my gosh.
You're like, that was like, I can't believe I
was a fucking mess. I know. I mean, I'm so lucky that I wasn't one of the people who had to give birth alone, you know, during the pandemic. We just missed that. But I wouldn't.
No, nobody's allowed, right? Now it's nobody.
I can't remember. I think in LA now you're allowed one person. And actually when we gave birth, you were only allowed to have one person as well. It was just at the start of the pandemic. Which was fine, you know, as long as I had my husband there, but I don't know how those women do it.
Are you thinking of writing a book now about the pandemic and having a
baby? It's funny because I've talked about like maybe doing an essay about what that's been like. It's just like, where do I even find the time at this point? I'm like, when do I want to write all these things? And I have been keeping a journal of like ideas and stuff I want to do, but it's like, in LA, we're still on total lockdown. So, you know, we don't have our cleaning people to come. It's like me and my husband scrubbing toilets on the weekends to like, you know, when we have time. It's like, this morning I was mopping our floors and I was like, you know, I could be doing anything else. But right now I have to be like housekeeper, cook, like everything.
Ditto. I know it kind of like throws me off. I'm just like, oh man, I gotta cook today and clean this shit.
It's
like, sometimes a tornado goes through here with toys because the kids, and he's like, I'm not gonna pick that up today, fuck it.
No,
I don't give a shit about that. I'm like, guys, pick up your toys. So they take everything and put it in, like, it's just like, I'm like, I can't, I don't even know how to teach how to organize. Like, why can't my sister be created as a little six-year-old to like organize the shelves and everything?
That should be like a fun, I think Marie Kondo, I don't know if you ever watched her show, about like organization and whatever. but she has books for kids that encourage them to start cleaning and organizing all their shit.
Googling that after this. Raven's learning to read, so you can read the shit out of that book.
Yeah.
What do you, have you been, so being a new mom, being in LA, you're not really like out and about, of course, you guys have been quarantined, but the shaming of breast milk versus formula, is that
hard to play
because of just like organic living?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's hard anywhere.
It is.
I remember, I mean, you know, I love my mother-in-law, but when we found out we got pregnant, you know, we were, I can't remember how we got on the subject of breastfeeding, and my mother-in-law was like, well, you're going to breastfeed, right? And I was like, well, you know, I hope I can. I was like, but sometimes you can't.
And I feel like that all the time too.
But I remember being like, wow. And you know, my mother-in-law is in Arkansas, and not in LA, but out here, you know, a lot of my friends are definitely breastfeeding. They're trying to breastfeed. Luckily, my best friend went through a similar experience that I did, which is like my breast milk never really fully came in. And on top of that, I wasn't super excited about breastfeeding. I was just like, I don't know if this is actually going to be for me. So my husband and I had this conversation about like, are you going to be okay if I don't want to breastfeed? Because obviously it's not up to him, you know, it's like ultimately my choice. And so we stopped breastfeeding after 10 weeks, which was maybe a week or two ago. And, you know, I feel great. And I felt guilt about that. You know, I was sort of like, I feel bad that I don't want to breastfeed her, but I feel so much better now that I'm not, you know, and feeding is ultimately my point of view. Feed the baby. That's all they need.
Horror stories of women trying to wait for their breast milk and this kid's fucking hungry. Like,
I know. And we, you know, we were always supplementing with her because also when she came out, she was jaundiced. So she had to go under the disco lights. Yeah. And for jaundice, they tell you like, feed them to help get rid of it. And so on top of breastfeeding her, we were always giving her some kind of formula. So it kind of felt like a natural progression for us too. And luckily I didn't have my heart set on like, oh, I, you know, really want to breastfeed. But I know like I've spoken to other women who've gone through this and the feeling is sort of like, I just wish I had had the choice of like, you know, do I want to breastfeed or not? Where if you're in my situation, it was sort of like, you know, my milk never really fully came in. So like, what can you do? Like, we're not going to be breastfeeding.
We're just not going to feed your baby. It's fine. It's fine. But do you think you had the conversation like before you had Maeve, like about breastfeeding?
We did. Yeah, because I think I anticipated part of my body was just like, I don't want to, like when I thought about breastfeeding, I didn't get these warm, fuzzy feelings that a lot of women experience, which is great for them. Like, I'm so glad that women love breastfeeding. But when I thought about it, I was kind of like, oh, this just seems like something I don't really want to do. And like, I can bond with her just by holding her and cuddling her and feeding her with a bottle.
Think about the dad. It's like telling a dad they're not bonding, or the mother mom who isn't breastfeeding, like, oh, you're not bonding when you just feed them.
I know. And I did have a lot of like friends who were well-meaning who were like, you're going to love it. Like, don't worry. Like, you'll start to love it. You know, when I would express like, I don't really like doing this. It doesn't feel good to me. Like, I don't really want to be doing it. And so luckily I have a really supportive husband and we had talked about it. And he was completely like, you know, whatever you want to do.
Whatever happens, you know, a supportive spouse is important. I think as a person who pumped mostly through all of them, I tried the lot, like I would try it. I'm exactly the same. And I think like sitting and being on their schedule all day, because annoying. When I'm resting, it's like whenever they're hungry, they're latching.
Right.
And you're like,
right.
So with pumping, I have a set like every 3 to 4 hours, every 3 to 4.
Right.
I can go back to work and I can bring like things like that. So in my head, yes. But I always said, if my body doesn't want to cooperate, it is what it is. Just get the baby.
Yeah.
And my firstborn was jaundiced too. So when that happened.
So you know that dance.
Yeah. Supplement if you, whatever gets him better, like.
Right.
It's not like some conspiracy theory. Oh, formula. Yeah, they're just trying to feed your baby. What? Oh, okay. Is that for them? But
I know there are a lot of crazy people in LA who get weird about it. And like, I think the thing that I found out that I didn't know existed was that I was like, we're not going to be doing that. But I know women who do is like, there are, you can actually buy other people's breast milk. Mm-hmm. Like you can buy it off of them if you really want your baby to have breast milk. And I was like, I'm good.
There's donor milk, but the buying off. Yeah. There's donor milk now and more plant here. Mm-hmm. And then there's, I know women who give breast milk to like needy families.
I mean, that's really nice. I can't imagine as someone who like doesn't want to do it at all. I'm like, that's
good. I have a ton like frozen. So in my head, I'm always like, well, I mean, if one of my friends need it, I mean, yeah. Or if it cured coronavirus, I was just going to give it to everybody.
Wow.
I don't know if it does.
Women heal the world. I would not be surprised.
Well, they always, I was always joking. I was like, you guys, I have a freezer full. So if someone could just do some research on this breast milk, I have my one friend chemist in New York, and I was like, if you want me to send some up, and you let me know, I'll send it out. I'll get people.
There you go.
Whatever, and then women will just take over.
Get the trials going.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so what's your goal with your next book? What's the next one you're working on? Romantic one that came out.
That's what I'm working on. Actually, that's what I'm working on.
What's it called?
That's my romance book. So right now the title is Like Butter.
Like Butter.
It's about like butters. I don't know if you read romance novels. I'm a huge fan, y'all.
I will start when you write one.
It's there. You go. Thank you, Katie.
You're welcome.
I have a buyer already. So it's kind of like I don't know if you ever watch cooking shows, but it's sort of like fanfic for the Great British Bake Off. It's like if Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood were young and sexy kind of thing.
Love it.
So that's the book I'm working on, and it's my first fiction book that I'm hoping, you know, to eventually finish whenever this coronavirus is done and we get childcare. But
but your mom's gonna help when she comes in. Do you think you'll get into more of a swing for stuff for you when your mom's in town?
Yeah, I think so, because my mom loves just sitting and cuddling the baby all day. That's like, if she could just sit and cuddle the baby, that's all she wants to do. So it really will give me time. And you know, like I think it's important that women ask for help, take the help that they're offered, because my mode usually is to not ask for help. And I think having a baby has really forced me to be like, no, I need help. And like, please help me.
Yes. It does take a village. People don't realize, like, sometimes a woman doesn't have a village, but like ask if they need help. Like, I mean, don't like, but it's so important because it literally is so hard.
Yes. It's really, really tough. And luckily, we can't have visitors here really, but people have been sending food, and you know, they'll give us gift certificates to Postmates, and even those little things of like, okay, I don't have to cook tonight or whatever it is really helpful. So, you know, people find ways, thank God.
I think we forgot to bring up some funny memories really quick before we end this show. We got so serious about mom, motherhood and shit. One of my favorite memories, I think it was fifth grade. The hurricane came during your birthday party.
Oh my God.
And mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan came to pick up Brooke, but didn't save any of us and just left us there and just
That was like, yeah. So that was the No Name Storm. And it was, I was having a sleepover, and I remember just hearing this like boom, boom, boom on the door. And Hulk Hogan lived across the street from us. So, and I was friends with Brooke, and you know, he was like, I gotta get Brooke. And I think it was like 2 a.m. or something.
And I remember your mom was like, what? And she like walks into the room and she's like,
yeah,
Aaron, where's Brooke?
Yeah, and poor Brooke. I think she was asleep or something. But we all had to evacuate the next day. Like we went to my dad's office, and you know, that's a very Florida thing.
Hey, hurricanes. That's a very good memory. Your mom, always amazing.
She is a queen, I know.
She is a queen. She's a queen bee.
I've never seen her without lipstick on, ever.
She was always beautiful. I mean, she's beautiful probably without lipstick, but she always was done up. Like, she made
it. I mean, I know.
She's done it for the beauties.
That's right.
I just think that's a great memory to have. I mean, we went through our awkward stages together. Look at us now.
I mean, if you look at photos of me, it's wild. I'm trying to think of like what movie would, it's like I would be the kid that would be bullied or something like that, because I had braces, I had that frizzy red hair, overweight.
I was the frizzy hair, heavyweight, dark. I mean, you know, I told somebody in fourth grade I was Lebanese and they go, you're a lesbian. I was like, sure. but I'm saying like, we were never bullied.
I was definitely bullied.
Were you?
Not intensely, but people would always pick on me for my red hair, for being fat. And you know, like it is what it is.
Hot jokes just, I felt like we're like, your mom is so
normal.
Like,
right.
Yeah,
just part of life. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I remember, I don't remember Brian. He was like a really short kid in our class. And someone was like, Katie looks like a mammoth next to you. And I was like, that's and I like walked away, but smiling. I wasn't that bright, I feel like, with I was like, thank you.
Well, you were always like a shining beacon. I feel like you were ended up being like part of like every club, every whatever, because everyone loved you. You had always such an incredible personality.
I learned that the Gemini trait. I just like like a weird.
Very nice.
I was always why do I love everyone? Why is it?
Yeah, I'm very into astrology myself, and my husband hates me for it, but I'm Capricorn energy.
My friends who are, tell me that. I can't figure out it.
Yeah. Yeah, fair.
Thank you. If you want to send me some notes about it, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. After this.
So let's go over Amazon books, the Big Redhead Book, Woman Skills.
Yeah, so the Big Redhead Book and Woman Skills are both nonfiction books. Definitely the Big Redhead Book is like for if you're a redhead or if you know a redhead, it makes a great gift. Woman Skills is also like a humor how-to book.
Because you have superpowers.
Redheads absolutely have superpowers. I think if you're a redhead, you know that like, you feel pain a little differently at the dentist. We need more Novocaine. That's true. And we can leap over tall buildings, obviously, in a single bound. There's a lot that you find out in there. I go over the history of redheads. I go over the science behind red hair.
And wait, happy Redhead Day. It was like 4 days ago. It was like national.
Kiss a Ginger Day. Yeah.
Sorry, I missed that. I apologize.
Thank you. I appreciate the apology.
So what, Like Butter, I will read that one, Like Butter.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted.
So are you going to do like audibles of your book? I would love you reading the Big Redhead Book.
You know, they're available on Kindle and they're, I think, available in hardback only for both of them. I don't think there's no audible coming.
You would have to read it out and do an audible version.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think maybe when my mom's here, I'll just record it.
With your tone and your hilarious sometimes when you say stuff. So it would just be like perfect for the book.
You're right. You know what? You're right.
You're welcome.
Katie, thank you.
Please, when they give you like a honorable mention in the beginning, just be like, Katie told me to do this.
I'll put the dedication to you. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Who's your favorite author? Who's your favorite authors other than yourself?
Probably Susan Orlean. And actually, she's a redhead. She writes nonfiction books. A movie based off of her called Adaptation. It's based off of one of her books. She's great. She is a really great profile writer.
When did you find out you wanted to be a writer?
It was in middle school, and I can't remember the teacher's name, but I remember I wrote some history report, and the teacher's feedback was like, this is really great writing, you should be a writer. And it was the first time and I had ever thought like, oh, you can write something like that, you can make that a career. And so I remember thinking about it at that point, and you know, I ended up studying it in college and got my master's in writing too, so it just stuck. So teachers are really powerful.
They are. I love that. I didn't know that. And I do want to bring up that you were one of the people that dared me. And this is going to be a finale of finale. You dared me. Do you remember the movie Studio 54?
Yes.
So there was a quote. We were all at the art table, I think. It was a table. I don't know where. I don't fucking know what class. But you guys dared me to, as my quote, it's not the size of the ship, it's the motion of the ocean, as my
Katie.
Eighth grade middle school. You were one of the
Katie.
People that dared me. And then when I wrote that, okay, I get pulled in to Miss Brown's office. It was already printed. Then she was like, what happened? And I was like, my sisters say that about obstacles, about taking on obstacles. And she was like, that's beautiful. I was like, thank you.
That's beautiful. Do you know that Alyssa, I don't know if you remember Alyssa Underhill.
Underhill, yeah, you guys are, yeah, she just had a baby too, I love her.
My best friend, we for some reason she had her yearbook at her house when I went to visit her when she had a baby. And we found that quote and took a photo of it because I was like, this is incredible.
I need you to text me that because I said it.
I'm pretty sure I still have it.
I was like, I remember those bitches at the table daring me. And I was like, fuck you. And you were right.
Sorry.
That you were getting into. And I was like, I got you guys. That's hilarious. Do you remember?
We also, we took a photo. I mean, there were so many people in the yearbook who put like really disgusting things where it's like, oh, okay. No, one knew.
It might've been in the library. I don't know where the fuck we were, but I do remember that. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Okay.
That sounds like me. That sounds like me.
I get down.
You're welcome, Katie.
Thank you. I do remember though nailing it when she brought me in. And
I mean, that is such a great excuse.
First of all, what parents told you that it was a quote from a movie, those hoes, okay? Because she said
that's right.
Tell me what parents came up to. They're the real deal. Uh-huh. Okay.
So they were apparently very fun.
Yeah, they were good parents.
Whoever those people were.
They're the ones that put their kids to bed and everyone was doing drugs and having orgies. But that's hilarious. I love that you took a picture of it recently.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Erin. She's Blue Ivy's confidant. She got married on Beyonce's birthday. She's an author, mm-hmm, a mom, mm-hmm, a wifey, running the show in quarantine, living your best life. I love that you're on the show. Can we do it? Can we do a follow-up when Like Butter comes out?
That would be great. I would love
like
that.
Butter. Like Butter. Like Butter. If you'd like me to do that advertisement for you, I would love to say Like Butter.
Yeah, you're going to be my hype woman.
Oh my gosh, I love being a hype woman. Oh, that's like my dream. Thank you so much for that. I love you. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Chat later on this week or something.
Yeah, that would be great.
Call me when you're living your life. Tell Maeve I said hey.
I will. I hope you guys have a good time today and this weekend.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And Erin LaRosa's out. Drop a mic. Bye.